doors are open wide.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Good afternoon, radio listeners. Welcome from the Encouragers, Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael. We are on the air every Saturday at 3 p.m., bringing words of encouragement from the Holy Bible for everyday life. Please continue to listen in and be blessed. Our Father, who art in heaven, all-powerful, everywhere at the same time, all knowledgeable. Please forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I thank you for this opportunity to preach your word from the Holy Bible. May what I say be helpful to someone and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My topic for today is the Beatitudes, part one. My scripture is the fifth chapter of Matthew. The fifth chapter of Matthew begins the first and longest message of Jesus that we have in the gospel. Jesus had been announcing that the kingdom of heaven was at hand, and he had been calling for people to repent. Now, in what has been described as the manifesto of his kingdom, Jesus unveils foundations and character of life in that kingdom. Here, he teaches the ethical guidelines for life in his kingdom. And the guidelines point to the quality of righteousness that characterizes life in the kingdom, now in part, but fully in the future. The sermon begins with the Beatitudes. These qualities give a picture of the character of true people of God, those who are a part of his kingdom and has the full blessings of the kingdom to look forward to. Taken together, they give the picture of the perfect disciple of Christ, who is the heir of the promises. The fifth chapter of Matthew starts off by saying, "And seeing the multitudes, he, Jesus, went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." The Beatitudes all began with blessed are. They are called Beatitudes from the Latin verses beatus, which means happy. Happy does not seem to capture all that is intended here in the text, primarily because modern uses of the word happy has devalued it. This term is an exclamation of the inner joy and peace that comes with being right with God. Happiness may indeed be a part of it, but it is a happiness that transcends what happens in the world around us, a happiness that comes to the soul from being favored by God. That is why it can call for rejoicing under intense persecution. In some ways, the Lord's declaration of blessed is a pledge of divine reward for the inner spiritual character of the righteous. In other ways, it is his description of the spiritual attitude and state of people who are right with God. So when Jesus says, "Blessed are they," he is not only describing them as being filled with an inner sense of joy and peace because they are right with God, but he is praising them for their character and pledging divine rewards for it. The poor in spirit are those who recognize they are in need of God's help. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It belongs to those who confess their spiritual bankruptcy. People who are poor in spirit are those who are humble before God. They realize that they have nothing in this life that they can contribute to receiving the kingdom of heaven. They have afflicted their souls, meaning that they have humbled themselves and repented with deep contrition, and they have come to the King as helpless and hopeless sinners. There is no arrogance in them, no self-righteousness, no self-sufficiency. They are free from their own pretensions, and therefore they are free for God. Everyone who wishes to enter the kingdom must be spiritually poor, For salvation is a gift from God. And that is the good news for the genuinely poor and oppressed in this world. The poor person is not excluded because of his poverty. And the rich person is not accepted because of his wealth. Both must humble themselves before the Lord in order to be part of the kingdom. It is often easier for the down and out of this world to do that than for the rich to do it. The clear lesson is that if any are going to enter the kingdom of heaven, they must become poor in spirit. This is the message of the kingdom. It is the call of repentance. They must humble themselves before God and acknowledge that they, being nothing of their own power, possessions or merit, to gain entrance. Those who truly humble themselves and express the need of the Lord, they have the kingdom of heaven. And in this, they find heavenly bliss. So how does one become poor in spirit? The implication from the text preceding this is that they would hear the message of the kingdom and learn what kind of kingdom it is and how to enter it through repentance for sins and submission to the will of God. The first step is to confess that they by themselves can do nothing and then seek the gracious provision that God has made. Verse 4 states, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." The spiritual, emotional, or financial loss resulting from sin should lead to mourning and longing for God's forgiveness and healing. For mourning to be in the faith, it will be a mourning not just for the suffering and sadness of life, but for the sinfulness that causes it. The disciples of Jesus understand that their grieving is ultimately for a world that is lost and ruined, in which God and His will do not prevail. But in their mourning, the disciples of Jesus have opened their heavy hearts to the Lord, and they know that their grieving is not without hope. They know that their weeping and grieving is but for a time only. They know that death does not have the final victory, for the dead in Christ will be raised incorruptible. They know that the Messiah will turn all that away someday, and that hope brings them comfort. So the promise is that they are comforted. They will be consoled above all when God wipes away all tears, and death will be no more, nor grief, nor tribulation. This is what citizens of His kingdom can expect. The instruction here will concern the focus of the mourning, not the mourning itself. The mourning will be comforted is the mourning of the disciples, those who have the proper understanding of the reasons for the mourning, and they will have the proper faith to see them through. As people face the sadness of life, they can do so with hope if they have mourned over sin, a clear sign of faith in the Savior. Roughly 10 bags of fentanyl was found in the bedroom of a 13-year-old boy who died from presumed fentanyl exposure at his school. Young people, please leave those drugs alone. They are deadly. Find your happiness in worshiping God. Some people may not have given their lives to Christ, but want to do so. John 3:16 states, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If you believe and are willing to follow Christ, then join a church that is based on the Holy Bible. Because Jesus hung, bled, and died on the cross for our sins, we are able to be happy as we live for Him. Now, a breath of fresh air with Minister David Michael.
Good afternoon and welcome to A Breath of Fresh Air with the Encourager, Minister David Michael. Today's topic is overcoming worry. Chronic worry is a problem that we must address. Experts warn that you can worry yourself to an early grave. The Daily Telegraph reports that even low levels of anxiety can increase the risk of a fatal heart attack or stroke by up to a fifth. A recent APA poll shows that 62% of Americans are anxious about the possibility of family and loved ones getting the coronavirus. The stress and anxiety caused by this pandemic can and is having an effect on people's physical and mental health. Despite high levels of anxiety resulting from the coronavirus, most people reported that they have not yet felt significant behavioral impacts. Behavioral results showed that about 19% reported having trouble sleeping. 8% consumed more alcohol or other drugs. 12% reported increased fighting with a partner or loved one, primarily because of being stuck at home together. And approximately 24% reported trouble concentrating on other things because they were focused on the coronavirus. What do you worry about most in life? Is it your health, your marriage, your children, your job, or your finances? Maybe you worry most about what other people think about you. Do you know why you worry? As children of God, we have no need to worry because we belong to a God who loves us, hears us, and is aware of our every need. We need to learn to accept the reality of His love for us so that our fears do not control us. 1 John 4:18 says that perfect love casts out fear. If you're afraid of facing a person or circumstance in your life, God's love can help you put your fears to rest. Philippians 4:6-7 says, "Do not be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Stop worrying long enough to hear God's voice, for He speaks softly to you in the depths of your being. Ask the Holy Spirit to quiet your mind so that you can think God's thoughts. This ability is an awesome benefit of being God's child. Do not be defeated by the noise of this world or that of your own thinking. Instead, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But perhaps you are worrying right now about something, and you don't feel connected to God, or you don't feel like you have a close relationship with Him. You probably heard that Jesus came to save you from your sin, but you are not sure how that works. Well, if that's the case, I've got good news for you. Remember, all of us have violated God's divine law and fall short of His glory. But the good news is that God loved you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus, who died between two criminals, was buried in a borrowed tomb. But early on the third day, He arose with all power in His hands so that you may have everlasting life. So when anxiety or worry calls your name, answer the call by praying, trusting God, and taking action to obey His word during these challenging times. Here's a prayer to help you overcome worry. Repeat after me, if you will. Calm me, Lord, as you calm the storm. Still me, Lord. Keep me from harm. Let all the uproar within me cease. Enfold me, Lord, in your perfect peace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Stay encouraged and keep looking up.
You have been listening to Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael, The Encouragers, bringing you words of encouragement from the Holy Bible. We hope that we have said something